All right, Clarence. Good evening. You can write this down. This can be the subject for tonight. Words are outlets of the heart. We're going to be dealing with three sets of scriptures. 2 Peter 2:10-12, Ephesians 5:6, Jude 8:10 is 4, and Matthew 12:34. That's 2 Peter 2:10-12, Ephesians 5:6, Jude 8:10, and Matthew 12:34. Words are outlet of the heart. In plain English, whatever that's in the heart eventually is going to come out in words. Now, this is a three-part lesson. It's going to be dealing with words, thoughts, and reasoning. That's the process. But the more I think about it, the more I teach this subject, the more I believe it begins the other way around. I think it begins with reasoning. Satan plant a reason in your mind. Then that reason develops into a thought. And then those thoughts eventually turn out to be words. So reason, thoughts, and words. Now, I just believe that's the process, because the more I evaluate it, the more it makes sense to me. And as we teach you, you learn a little more as you teach. So I'm going to make this statement as an opening statement. A man who is rebellious, you know, we say a man, it could be man, woman, who is rebellious in heart will soon utter rebellious words, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, let's look at 2 Peter 2:10, all the way through 12. I'm going to read it for you. I'm going to give you a minute to find it. 1 Peter 2:10-12. Now, notice all these are scenarios about how words can be dangerous. That first verse said, 10 verse said, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-will. Notice this word self-will always come up in a person's rebellious heart. Even when we read earlier about Samuel, when Samuel sinned against God, he operated out of his own will, and we call that the principle of self-will. So they are self-will. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. 11 verse says, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. Now, Jude's gonna explain this verse a little bit more, because you're going to find out exactly what he's talking about with the angels. But angels are submitted beings. Angels of God. They are submitted beings. They hearken unto the words of God. And they're totally submitted to everything God says and do. That's why you don't get in the way of an angel. I read last night doing my study about Balaam and Balak, King Balak. I don't know if anybody familiar with that story. When King Balak wanted Balaam to come in and bless the country of Moab. And then Balaam said, how can I curse what God has blessed? And but he went anyway, because you kept inquiring of the Lord. The Lord said, go ahead. Just make sure you say everything I say. And then while he was on his donkey, an angel stood before the donkey with his sword drawn. The donkey was able to see it, but Balaam could not recognize the angel standing in his path. And three times this happened. And the angel made a statement. He said, if you had not turned, if I had not, the donkey had not stopped you, I would kill you with this sword. They're totally obedient. They're not going to obey you before they obey God. So my point is that they'll submit it to God, and anybody get between in the way of them and God, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Angels don't play. 12 verses, but these as natural beasts, talking about these people with rebellious heart, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not. Isn't that something? And shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Now let's move on a little bit further. Let's go to Ephesians 5 and 6. And our point, we're proving that the effect of words. Words have strong effects. More than more people think. More effect than more people realize. Because if they did, they'll have a better choice of their words when they speak. And they make sure that they don't have the wrong thing in their heart. Because if the wrong thing in the heart, you're going to speak them. Where are we going now? Ephesians 5. So make sure. I know none of you all got wrong things in your heart. But make sure you don't let the wrong thing get in your heart. Now, notice how it gets in your heart through your ear gates. Don't ever allow people to put the wrong things in your ear. One scripture said, put a guard on your ear. Guard your ears. In other words, guard what you hear. Or guard what you allow to go through your ear gates. You know, you got a choice over that. Say, look, hold that. You can do it politely as you want. Say, look, hold that. And she said, because I don't think I want to hear that. Because sometimes these gripers, sometimes these complainers, sometimes these what's the other word? Murmurers. That's the word, right? Sometimes these murmurers got these little hot complaints. They want to tell you about pastor, apostle, and about any leadership that govern, and they want to pass on their complaint to you. Say, hold that. Don't let them put that in your ear. Because I find out, apostles taught this a long time ago, whatever you hear, you got to deal with it. You got to deal with it. And then what happened? Remember I say reasoning, thoughts, and words? You begin to think about it. That thought begin to expand. You say, you know, they might be right. I never saw it like they said it. And then Satan then entrap you by the process of entrapment through your ear gates. And then from then, if you don't deal with it, then it's downhill then. Not uphill, it's downhill. Ephesians 5, verse 6. Look what it says here. He says, let no man deceive you with vain words. That's exactly what we're talking about. Let no man do what? Deceive. Underline that word deceive. You know, James talked about a person deceiving themselves. Now, Paul taught in Ephesians, but let somebody else deceive you. Let no man deceive you with vain words. You know what vain word is? Empty words. Yes. Words that have no value. Words that's not edifying. If it's not edifying, it's a vain word. If it's not a building up, complimenting word, don't even deal with it. That's what he's saying. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. What? It's because of these things, what? Vain words. The wrath of God come upon the children of disobedience. My goodness. So God hearkened unto word. We go back to Numbers 11 or number 12. I don't remember when it was, but Miriam, she said she spoke. The Bible said God heard it. Mm-hmm. I made a statement. Rebellious words ascend directly to heaven and they're heard by God. So now look at another one now. Jude's going to explain more about the angels. than Peter did. You go more in a little more in depth. You're gonna look at Jude 8, I think 8 through 10. Jude 8 through 10. Look what it says here. It says, likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, they despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Peter said, governments. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, did not or durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as bruised beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. My goodness. You see it? But angels are disciplined beings. They're disciplined beings and they're submitted beings to the Father himself and to the Lord Jesus. And you'll find out, apostle teaching on angels, he said, angels hug unto our words. And so angels are obedient beings, and just make sure you don't cross God with an angel. Don't come against God, because you're going to become an enemy of an angel. Yeah, just like that angel wanted to slay Balaam. He was going to kill him. You read that for yourself. He was going to kill him. Oh, yeah. He was going to kill him with a sword. Now, look at Matthew 12 and 34. Matthew 12, 34 is going to bring us right back to the root of our lesson about these rebellious words coming out of a rebellious heart. Yeah, they always, I mean, what's the end going to finally come out? You hang around a rebellious person long enough, or somebody you think is rebellious, just wait a little while. Just hold on and let them prove themselves out, and they're going to say the things that you knew was in their heart all the time. When they get enough, when they muster up enough courage to say it. When you get around the right people that are going to agree with them. When they get with their little posse, their little group. They might say it corporately or they might say it individually, but they're going to say it. I've been wanting to tell you that. Yeah, you've been had it in your heart too. Okay. 34. Yes, indeed. 12 and 34, right? I don't like the pages on this Bible. It's a good Bible, but the pages are so thin, I can't even grip them with my hand. Okay. Matthew 12 and 34. And you make you lick your fingers all the time. I don't like licking my fingers all the time. I'm almost there. O generation of vipers, it said, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? Think about that. Selah. Pause and think about it. How can you be evil? Can an evil person speak good things? If they do, they're lying to you. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now, I pull up a translation of that. And I want you to listen at some of these different translations of the B part of Matthew 12 and 34. The NIV said, the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. I like that. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Listen at the Good News Bible. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. It says the same thing. But I want the Passion Bible. That's the one I want. The Passion Bible said, for what has been stored up in your heart, I like that, will be heard in the overflow of your words. What has been stored up in your heart? See, rebellion, when it comes out, that it just didn't get in there. It been incubating in there for a long time. Evil has been incubating in these people's hearts for a long time. And finally, like I said, they muster up enough ignorant faith to let it come out. In Amplified Bible said, out of the superabundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I like those translations. So, what's in? Coming out. That's something, ain't it?
Yes, sir.
Now, let me give you a few more pointers here. Your words will reveal the attitude of your heart. Your words will always reveal your heart attitude. To know authority, one must first meet authority. How do you meet authority? And sometimes people wondering, how do you meet authority? You meet authority, God very seldom are put in a position where you meet his direct authority. Paul, in the 9th chapter of Acts, after threatening the church, met authority on the Damascus Road. You call that direct authority. But God don't always do that. But because of the person that Saul was, God had to do that. Because Paul was so tenacious. Paul was so set out in his heart to do evil to the church, God had to stop him himself. Normally, God to go through the process of a man. But Jesus himself met Saul on the Damascus Road, and Saul said, Lord, who art thou? You see? And then he said, I'm Jesus. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. One translator said, hard for thee to kick against authority, against the gods. Authority. Now, On a chariot, on the wheels, they had these little sharp things when they went to battle. That was the gold. And what he's saying is you can't kick against that because they use that to destroy. They'll run that wheel into people, and that's how they would attack the enemy. They had so many weapons. He said you can't kick against the gold without getting hurt. And so it's hard to come against authority. Now, to meet authority, most time God used a man. He used a man and to reveal authority and to reveal your rebellion at the same time. God put someone that you have to obey before you, a human just like you, because human being, it takes humility to submit to a human being. To submit directly to God, you don't have to have too much humility because you know you're not higher than God. But when it comes to a person, it takes a certain amount of humility because sometimes it takes some dying. It takes some dying to submit because truly you don't think you should or have to submit. The war had old saying, one guy used to say when I was working in the chemical plant, he said, he's a man just like me. He pants on one leg at a time. Yeah, that's what the world's thinking. Yeah. Well, you're no better than me, I'm no better than you. I don't have to obey you. But that the Bible says submit to all levels of authority. Because that's an ordinance of God. You're supposed to. And so God will put a man in front of you to be your gauge of your submittance, your level of submittance. And so when you meet authority, especially a Christian, and you rebel, the Holy Spirit will convict you,
yes,
if your heart is open. Now, until you had that experience, then you're never going to die to it. And you got to feel it. And I've been there. I've felt authority. I've met authority. And let me read the next part. It's going to tell you the effects of meeting authority, or God's authority. And when you recognize God's authority in that person, apostles carry that authority more than any man that I ever met in my life. He don't carry the authority of a man. It's the anointing that you sense that you know I'm not coming against a man here because he walk in the spirit much as anybody I ever known. And then because of that anointing upon his life, And when the words come out of his mouth, I sense God. And so because of that, that the reverential fear, even when he speaks. And so because of that, you meet authority, and then you recognize that I come against God here. I didn't come against a man. I came against God. Now watch. Let me keep reading here, and then you're going to kind of put two and two together with what I just said. To know authority, one must first meet authority. Otherwise, he will never obey. The mere hearing of the message of obedience is totally ineffective. He might have an encounter with God. Then the foundation of God's authority will be laid in his life. So he's saying there has to be an encounter or an experience so that foundation can be laid. You have to have touched debt when you meet authority. When I say touch debt, I'm not talking about physical debt. Touch or dying and an awesomeness, I'm going to use the word woe, or woe. You remember Jesus said, woe unto you, scribe and Pharisee? Woe is a word that it's a holy command almost. It's a scare. It's a frightening word. If the Lord tell you woe unto you, my goodness, I need to find out what I'm doing wrong, Lord. Woe unto me. And so that's the kind of feeling when you miss authority, when you misrepresent authority. If that debt feeling come upon you, and you don't like it the way that almost like God has separated himself from you for a moment. I said, Lord, I don't like this feeling. I've been there. I don't like this. And then you got to hurry and get back as quick as you can because you know you got out of place with God through a man. All right. So look, he said, once you met that authority, then the foundation of God's authority will be laid in your life. Now he said, afterwards, whenever he says a rebellious word, even before he utters it, while still in his mouth, while still in his heart, before it comes out of his mouth, before he utter it, he will become conscious of his trespass and thus be inwardly restrained. When your heart has been tried, and you've really met authority, like Brother Nee said, when that word tried to come up, whoa, I can't say that. The Holy Ghost would catch it and say, that's a rebellious word. That's a rebellious thought. That's a rebellious idea. You can't say that. And your heart becomes checked. And that's when you've learned authority. That's when you've met authority. But otherwise, here's the otherwise. If one can freely speak rebellious words without any inward sense of restraint, he certainly has never met authority. Maybe you've met some people like that. Say anything freely and with no fear and with no constraint. Now that person's a dangerous person. That's the kind of people over in Numbers with the rebellion of Korah and Dathan and Abiram, when they was around speaking evil of Moses, then that ground cleaving opened action. In other words, that's the people you don't want to stay too close to. The rebellious people, you want to separate yourself from them, because any moment destruction can come to them. I remember one man came to an apostle. He said he got on his knees. I just asked you to forgive me. He said, I put my mouth on you. Ain't nothing been going right for me. See, in other words, to take this thing off of me. Forgive me. He said, I'll release you. I forgive you. And the man felt debt. I'm not talking about physical debt. But that's a debt of separation from God. And you know when God had taken his hand off of you, and then you're on, I don't want to be on my own. That's a feeling. The David said, Lord, feel like you took your spirit from me. Take not your Holy. David felt that awfulness and that emptiness and that without God, man, I don't want to be without God. Not in this world. But that what happened. Like God pulled, people don't know, rebellious people don't know, God has taken his hands off of them. What up? That's the war I'm talking about. What an awesome place to be that you don't want to be. Man, can you imagine God take his hand off of you? Man, I don't even want to think that. God, take not your Holy Spirit. Lord, don't never take your hand off of me, Lord. Keep your hands on me. Keep your hands on me, Lord. And Lord, I don't want to sin with my mouth. I don't want to sin with my heart. I don't want to sin with nothing, Lord. Not against you. I don't want to sin against you, Lord. It's much easier to utter rebellious words than to perform rebellious acts. Now, that's a fact. It's easier to utter rebellious words than to perform rebellious acts. The tongue is hard to be tamed. Very quickly, a man's rebellion is expressed through his tongue. It's easy. It's easy. And you can hide. You can hide. You can hide behind. You see, some people think, because I didn't do anything. Yeah, you don't have to do anything. Your words did it for you. Your words committed the act for you. Some people think they got to, because I didn't do anything, I just said that. They don't know the words are the door to destruction. And that's what Brother Nee trying to, the words are doors to destruction. You don't have to put your hand on anything or someone to be a rebellious person. You know, just your God deal with words. Just the words alone. Yeah, Lord, but I didn't sign a petition. Yeah, but your heart was signing it. You know, sometimes people sign petition, you know, and you know, for certain spiritual things, see, because they think this is a democracy. And the apostle says, son, this is a theocracy. And no, I mean, even if your thought was wrong, your thoughts, words, you see it? Thoughts, words, reasoning. It's dangerous ground for Christian to function like that. He may agree with a person to his face, but revile him behind his back. He may keep quiet in front of a man, but have much to say out loud later on. That's why. You see, God is so smart. That's not good enough for God. God is the most... God is the creator of everything. God is the highest being that ever existed. God is wisdom. God knows everything before it even happened. I'm saying all that to say this, that sometimes people think they're fooling God. When God knows your thoughts, the intent, that's Hebrews 4 and 12. He knows your thoughts and the intent of your heart. And so sometimes people think they're fooling you because they ain't saying nothing in front of you. They might, oh, you a good pastor. Well, pastor, we love you so much. We love you so much. I always didn't understand that. People would come and say, ooh, I'm a boy, God sent me here. Hallelujah. God, praise God, he sent me here. And look, it's I'm with you all the way. And 2 weeks later, they go, I don't understand that kind of talk. Why are you with me all the way? What happened in the last 2 weeks? My goodness, I mean, yeah. And then here's the little secret here. Well, the Lord just sent me here for a season. Oh, my goodness. Where are you going with that fool there? We just woke up yesterday or born yesterday. But I'm telling you, I mean, God knows people's heart. And God's not going to allow leadership to be deceived with that. God exposed liars and deceivers. Yeah, and so be mindful of words. You know what I'm saying? People just say all kinds of good things. But that don't mean they mean them. You see, but God judges men's heart. And God knows what's behind. And that's what's called vain empty word. I love you, vain empty word. Yeah, I love you. Yeah, vain empty word. You're speaking words. Like James Brown, he said he had the answer. You're talking a lot and saying nothing. Yeah, y'all remember that. That's vain words. You're saying it, but I don't hear you. Apostle used to say, I'll be with you, Pastor. You know what you say? We'll see. I'm with you. We'll see. Yeah, the proof of the pudding is what? In the eating. Yeah. And so, just because a person speak kind, vain, empty words, and they sound good on the outside, don't mean that's their heart. Deceivers. They're deceivers. So, take the compliment, put the good compliment with the bad one. And just shake them all up. Because you know, people's heart are devices a lot of the time. They're devices. You with me? Prove it. You got my back? Prove it. Yeah. Let me see. Let your action speak for you. And the words are empty. They're vain. See, I'm so glad I'm a free man. I don't go all them cliches to apologize. Say, I just do. And then develop a track record. You develop a track record, and then you'll know. You know, that's why the Bible said, you say, lay hands on no man, stole it. No, you can't put people in position too quick, because you don't know their heart yet. Let them first be proved. In other words, let them work out their own soul salvation. In other words, let them bring some meat for repentance. Let them show you they're with you. Yeah, sometimes people put people up too quick in position. And their heart ain't nowhere with it. They come to try to get a jump start on their ministry. You see? You got to watch everything. Now, the church ought to be different. In the church, there should be obedience from the heart. See? The church should be different. Whether or not there's heart obedience can easily be detected by the words which come from one's mouth. Yea and nay. But, you know, because sometimes, I just got to say, words can be divisive and deceiving. You know, you can detect by the word come from, but he's talking about sound words. You see it? Sound words. When I say sound words, I'm not talking about words that are empty. Words that are empty. Now, it got some people speak, and you know they mean what they say. You see it? I remember a man. He's still here today. A lady spoke out wrong one time. Boy, he's so connected to a pastor. He's aggressive type, you know. He'll go get her. He didn't want to say, "Don't dirty him, apostle. I got this one." I saw the rage in his face. Man, I'm walking with him. He was just going. I said, "Hold on, slow down, temperance." I was temperance. When I said temperance, he stopped drawing. He said, "When you say that, I just couldn't do nothing anymore," because he wanted to go physically protect apostle. Yeah. I said, "You can't do that." I said, "Temperance." But his, I saw his heart. I said, "Boy, is there anybody with apostle? You know, you remember people, Peter wanted to die with Jesus? Yeah, Lord, I'll die for you. We all gonna die together. We're gonna die for you." And then what happened was, I don't know the man. You know him? I don't know him. Never met the man before in my life. But he had to get to a place where he met authority. Then he repented. Peter died. And Peter turned to be another man after that. I found that Peter went the way to kill him, Peter. The crucify, they don't crucify me like, crucify me upside down. Because I'm not worth to be crucified like Jesus. They hung him upside down. He said, "I'm not worth it to be crucified like him." He became another man. After Pentecost, another man. See, the Holy Ghost was his helper. You see? So, words can be deceased, can be deceptive. And so, but people that in authority, thank God, have what they call discernment. God will not let them be deceived. They might get by a little while, But God always exposed the heart to leadership. Might take a little while. You know, sometimes people say, Jesus, let the tares grow with the wheat. Let the wheat grow with the tares. In other words, he says, God knows. Sometimes you pull the tares up, you pull some of the wheat up with it. Jesus saying, they're going to expose themselves. A weed going to prove out to be a weed. You know, I do a little gardening, and sometimes when the plants are early, they all look, you don't know what's the plant and what the weed. So you don't want to pull up the weed too fast, because you might be pulling up some of the plants. And so let them grow a little bit, and then you're going to be able to recognize the weed. You're going to say, no, there ain't no okra there. That's the piece of grass. And when you get big enough, you pull up the grass. Before that, it might be the okra in the grass. Yeah, I'm making any sense. So let them stay. They're going to spoil themselves. Or okra, always going to be an okra. A blade of grass, always going to be a blade of grass. So you ain't got to worry about if they're going to look alike. Amen. Now, Ham broadcast his father. Let's watch Ham now. I got 3 minutes to look at Ham. Ham broadcast his father's failure. Let's see what Ham did when he saw his father's nakedness. He went out to tell it to his brothers, Shem and Japheth. He went out and told. Now, him going out and tell was a sign that he had something, some odd against his father, waiting. Sometimes people wait until you fall. They want you to fall. They want you to make mistakes. And they're waiting for that moment so they can you say, oh, okay, I told you, Dad. Evidently, Noah had to do some extra correction to Ham. See, sometimes people don't handle correction right. And correction is one of the best ways to expose rebellion. What do you mean? Because correction determines when a person had broken. No way. If you don't give people rules, then when they error, you don't know when they error. Right. That's why God gave Moses the command, because they didn't know they were sinning until they had something to go by. Right. Right. So if you don't give somebody rules, you don't know when they're rebellious. I told you the story about my brother my dad was 12 o'clock. The rule was be home for 12. Now, they did not know they made a mistake until they came home after 12. So rules reveal rebellion. So how you handle it expose your heart. So when Ham gets corrected by going against one of his father's rules, it exposed his heart that his heart wasn't right toward his father, because he didn't want to handle discipline right. And the first chance he get, he tried to expose some of his father's shortcomings now. Right. You ever seen people do that? They, you know, you tell them something wrong, then they wait to see you do something wrong so they can try to. But if you're an authority, you don't have no right to correct me. Because authority corrected by a higher authority. Now you, equals, can't correct equals. Only authority can correct someone below them. You see? So I remember, you know, when my mom and dad would go somewhere, they left the elder sister or brother to watch over us. But because they wouldn't let us that were equal correct each other. They left somebody in authority. So God always uses people that in authority to correct. Now watch this now. Now, he who is insubordinate in heart, always expect the authority to fall. He who is insubordinate, you know what insubordinate means, you know? Yeah. Always expect authority to fall. Now, remember I said that. Ham got his chance to reveal his father's fault. In doing so, fully proved that he was not at all in subjection to his father's authority. And you bring that goodness, Lord, my time up. Just bring that to everyday life, and you see that people in authority. Amen. All right, class is over, and go in peace, and we'll see you next time.